Hi, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Faith Life with Pastor Earl and friends. Again, we are delighted and, in fact, privileged to be able to share the Word of God with you. I realize in my own heart what a privilege it is to share God's Word in this great country. There are some countries where you could not do this. It would be illegal or you'd get in a lot of trouble. So we are using this liberty that God has given to us to share the Word of God with you. Before we start, we have a wonderful sponsor. It is a beautiful time of the year. I love it when everything has been so bare, and now you see the flowers, and you see the cherry blossoms, and everything turning green again. And also, when you have this time of the year, there will be weddings and graduations and all that. Well, we have a wonderful sponsor, Platinum Plus Limousines. So if everything's turning green, you might as well call Mike Green, and he will bring you a limousine. 410-796-7433. That's Mike Green at 410-796-7433. And he is one of our faithful sponsors. Well, we took a week off and went to the subject of faith. You can look that up in the archives and listen to that. Now we will return to the book of 1 John, which is a manifesto of discipleship in following Jesus Christ. And this is just, I would recommend this book of the Bible to new believers, or if you want to get back on track again. I love this book, and you'll see this theme that keeps coming up. These things I write unto you because your sins are forgiven, or so that you don't sin, and all kinds of wonderful things, so that you're joy may be full, so that you can have fellowship with God. And we did this show you the distinction between relationship and fellowship. Now, when you repent of your sins and by faith receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you begin a relationship. You become a child of God. What a beautiful thing that is. And so I love being God's child. I love being his son. You can be his son or his daughter. And he will just love you all the days of your life. We're his darlings, we're his little loved ones. And that's what John uses that phrase often, because he heard Jesus use that. Jesus did not approach them, though he was a powerful leader. He approaches his disciples as his beloved, as his loved ones. Nothing worse than having a leader that does not love you. Nothing better than having a leader who does love you. That's why I love the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my leader. And then it shows all the things that he does and how he feels about the sheep of his pasture. Well, let's get into the text of 1 John chapter 2, and I'll address verses 18 to 23. There are some warnings about false teachers and preachers. And let me assure you of this. All you have to do is look under religious things in the internet, on the internet rather, and you will see all kinds of foolishness going on in the name of Jesus. And then you'll find great teachers of the word who will solidly give you the truth of the word of God. What many are doing nowadays is just anything carnally that they can, altering the message, altering the methods, changing the gospel, anything to draw a crowd and to get their market share. Jesus never called us to do that. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, nurture my sheep. If you love me, just take care of my sheep. One of the words for feed my sheep carries the idea of nurturing and loving, and the other word carries the idea of shepherding or pastoring. So here in 1 John 2:18-23, John says, under the inspiration of the Spirit, little children, little loved ones, my little darlings, as Jesus referred to his disciples. They were manly men, but when God calls us his beloved, his loved ones, it's not to put us down or make us feel we're less worthy. He just wants us to know we're the objects of his love. John, the beloved, now there's John the Baptist and John the beloved. John always felt that Jesus loved him. And he called himself, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, which he did write as well, the disciple who Jesus loved. Now John, under inspiration, was blessed by the Holy Spirit to write 5 books. The Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, remember, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, loving John, the one who had his head on Jesus' breast. He may have been loving, but he was not weak. He was a strong man. And as a strong man willing to stand for truth more than anything else. Little children, it is the last time. When we say the last time, if it was true in Jesus' day, it's true even now more so. The extreme time, we're looking at the signs of the time in Matthew 24 and other places, 1 Timothy 3, and we say, we truly are living in the last days, and beloved, I don't know how much more time that we have before the coming of our Lord, and then after that, the tribulation, where just literally and figuratively all hell will break loose on the earth. It will no longer be a time of grace, though many will find grace. It will be the time of the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. But God does not pour out his wrath upon his children, for he loves us. It is the last time, most extreme time, toward the end. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, Daniel spoke about the Antichrist. Jesus spoke about the Antichrist, that there would be a figure that during the tribulation would be the world leader. And so John has taught about this. Jesus has taught about this as well as the prophets. And he says, you heard that Antichrist shall come. Anti means against, Christ, Christos, the anointed one, and the anointing. Things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, and here talking about Jesus Christ himself is the one who the Antichrist is against. Even now there are many Antichrists, and many of them, sadly, grace ministries, not grace ministries, but they grace our ministries. Well, they don't really grace them, they ruin them. And you've heard that they will come. Even now there are many. They're in the religious world, they're in the educational world, they're in the media world, they're in the political world, they're in the entertainment world. And so everything that we hear and see has a spirit to it. It says, whereby we know. We know by experience, and we know absolutely that it is the last time. When we say it is the last time, we are living in the end of days. Verse 19 talks about these antichrists. There is one major one, but anybody that is not truly for Jesus in his heart is against him. Jesus said, you're for me or you're against me. They went out from us. Now see, Jesus said to us that the wheat and the tares would grow up together. And wheat and tares, from what agriculturalists tell us, are hard to tell apart because they look the same. Until the harvest, then one of them, it's called darnel, I don't know which one it does this, but the one stays straight and the other bends over at harvest time. So it is the harvest time, and the Lord will expose these false Christs and false teachers. But like Judas Iscariot, who I do not believe in his heart that he was truly saved, he's referred to as the son of perdition. He's a picture of a false Christian. And there are many in the church today that are not genuine believers. Satan plants them there for the destruction of the kingdom. But it says they went out from us. They departed. They left the faith. You hear this many times. You hear some preacher, some teacher, and either spiritually they go off the rails and say, I don't believe the Bible anymore. And we've had many of these even in the last decade. And now we're seeing it happen morally, where somebody that we thought was a true biblical person has been all caught up living a lifestyle of great debauchery and immorality, and they're just exposing who they truly are. It's not my job to judge them or say who's saved or not saved, but by the fruit you will know them. So John says they went out from us, but they were not all of us. Of the same fabric, of the same family, of the same faith. That's why Jude says to earnestly contend for the faith, agonize for the faith, battle for the faith. They went out from us. They can't stay with us. I heard a preacher years ago, he said this, those that are not with you can't stay with you, and those that are truly with you can't leave you. And we're not talking about changing churches or some believer getting upset about some issue at his or her church. And many times people use this as a verse for that. It's not talking about that. But sometimes you'll have somebody that will find out they can't carry out their agenda because there's a good shepherd watching out. Well, they'll leave because they can't do their damage there to the sheep. It says, but they were not all of us, out of us. For if they had been of us, of the same faith and of the same fabric, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. There was that departure like Judas did at the Last Supper. He left and he went out and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver that they might be made manifest. Trust me, false teachers, immoral people, wolves among the sheep, perverse people, one day they will slip, the mask will fall off, and they will expose what they're really made of. The Bible says they go out that they might be made manifest or reveal that they were not all of us. You'll have that feeling about them, something's just not right. They're not really with us. They love the world much more than they do the Word of God. They'd rather party than truly be a faithful man or woman of God, living a life of holiness. Verse 20, I love verse 20 and 27. Well, I love all the Word. But verse 20, remember this. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, God's divine comforter, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit comes in you and he transforms you and quickens you and makes you alive. But the Holy Spirit is not there just to be your down payment for salvation, as Ephesians teaches. But the Holy Spirit is there to be our advocate, our counsel for the defense, and also to protect us from false teachings. I was thinking one time, I had something I had eaten or something in my digestive system, and I had eaten it or it had gotten into me, and I'm sorry to say this, but I had to pull it on the side of the road and it triggered and I threw it all up. Later on that night, I went home and I read that in our brain, in one of the passageways of the blood, there's some little thing that God puts in there that when bad blood passes through, it triggers that the body has to get rid of it. Well, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to comfort us and do many wonderful things to come alongside and help us. You've got to read Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There are the seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit. There aren't seven spirits of God, but there are these seven, like, attributes. But it says in verse 20, but you have an unction, the word is chrisma, from the Holy One. So you hear false teaching, or you are around a wolf or around an apostate person, and an alarm goes off in your head, something just isn't right. Well, that's an unction, that's the chrisma, that's your anointing. And it says it's from the Holy One. Now, the Holy One is not the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy One is Jesus. Psalm 16, when prophetically it talks about the resurrection, says that he did not suffer the Holy One, that's Jesus, to see corruption. So you have an unction, a chrisma, from the Holy One. You received Christ as your Savior, and you have this dear Jesus who lives inside of you, and it says, and you know all things. Many things you'll know not just because you've studied them, but you'll know when you're what we call our knower. You'll know experientially, you'll know absolutely, because you have the anointing, you have the unction. We'll look at that again in verse 27. And it says, you know all things. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And as you study the word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But because you know it, or you know him who is the truth, and all, rather, and that no lie is of the truth. That's why in 1 John chapter 4 it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Verse 22 and 23, I'll read quickly. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Many of the false religions of today tell you they believe in the Father, but they don't believe the Son is divine. That's false teaching. Whoever denies that Jesus Christ is not the Anointed One, he is Antichrist. Remember, I just shared with you many Antichrists against the Anointed One, the Anointed Ones, and the Anointing. But he that denieth the Father and the Son, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. No matter how much they tell you or try to convince you, they do not have the Father. There's one particular cult I call them, and they say they are witnesses for Jehovah, but they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, they don't have the Father or the Son. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Now, I know we've shared some deeper thoughts today and things that aren't so easy to swallow, but the Word of God is there to protect us. So sometimes we have to say strong things so that you'll be protected against false teachers and teachings. Let me just say in closing, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Lord, I repent of my sins today, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I want to be saved. And you will be. And then you can contact us at Charisman, CHARISMAN 1234 at gmail.com, or text me, text only, at 386-795-8494. And let us know that if you have any prayer requests, or perhaps you'd like to support us financially so we can spread this word of God. Contact me by email or text and let me know that you would like to support us. God bless you. We love you. This is Pastor Earl saying, I love you and God loves you.